This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's April 18th, episode 895, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy Friday.
Thank God it's Friday!
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Friday. Next Friday, we will be at the Kentucky Horse Park together. We'll be doing the
Woo-hoo!
Show together for a change.
Fridays have a special meaning for me as well. We'll get into later. But I'm so excited. 1 week till we do our 900th episode together.
Well, you know, and you're going to have baby Luke together. And isn't it the producer's responsibility to take care of the baby while we're doing the show?
You know, it would be. However, I've hired somebody else because I don't trust your wife with my baby.
It's probably a smart move.
Actually, I'm actually giving Lucas to somebody for our show with less baby experience than your wife. So really, two of them should be able to figure something out.
Well, you know, we can't go far. We're in the old indoor arena. There's lots of booths around. So
you know what?
You know, we just
those of our listeners that are listening, if you have baby experience, I will give you some sort of Horse Radio Network something if you come babysit at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time in the old indoor while we're at Rolex. Please. Gubby,
you know,
Betty Faye.
There's a couple expensive saddle booths right around there. We could just bring them over to one of the expensive saddle booths, plunk them down, and say, here, play on the nice $5,000 saddles. We'll be back.
I think that's a genius idea. You are footing the bill if he poops.
He tears them and chews on them. And, what's this saddle horn for, chump?
Yeah. It happened.
Do you have teeth yet?
He has 8 teeth. He's getting his 9th and 10th, which is why I'm very tired. They won't seem to push on through. And, yeah, he's got a lot of teeth for his age. But I mentioned it's Friday, Glenn, and I got to tell you there's something special about Fridays now. My husband and I quit drinking except on Friday and Saturday. That means no wine with dinner. No beer after a hard day's work. Being outside, it's hot here. So we, like, love to come in and sit down and have a beer. That's kind of one of our things. And we have not done that for 3 weeks. And so it is now officially Friday. So I think I'm going to have a beer right now because it's Friday. Why not? It's
Lent. Now, two things. One is Lent is over today. So, or is it Sunday? One of those two. By the way, happy Easter, everybody. And so then you're good. This wasn't a Lent thing. And I know it wasn't an AA thing because they don't allow you to drink on Fridays and Saturdays either. So
yeah, no, AA is not – it's not a 12-step thing. It's not a religious thing. It's simply a lose-the-baby-weight thing. Because if you come in and you drink a bottle of wine a night, then you're not really going to lose any weight because that's an awful lot of calories. Just kidding. I didn't drink a whole bottle, but – you know, so I cut out the calories, and actually, just in 2.5 weeks, I've already lost 3 pounds just by doing that. Because I did join the gym, but really, I have gotten nothing accomplished at the gym. I just go in the pool and splash around.
I was wondering about the whole gym thing because that's usually what happens. Yeah,
I hate the
free
gym.
Babysitting service.
I hate working out. I hate people at the gym. I just, the whole, you know, like I was telling you before, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go do some – lift some weights with my arms, and then I'm going to go do some ab work. And I go lift the weights, and I go do the abs, and back and forth, because you got to, like, go back and forth. And I go back to the ab machine, and there's some chick sitting on the machine, just sitting there drinking water. And so I stand there, and I'm kind of staring at her. I mean, literally, I'm 5 feet away from her staring at her. Like, hello, it's my turn. And there's a sign right next to her head that says, do not sit on machines in between sets. Get up. So I say to her, hi, excuse me. Yeah, do you mind if I jump on there and just do a set real quick? Because I'm going back and forth, and I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to freaking work out, okay? And she looks at me, and what you would expect is, oh, I'm sorry, you know, let me hop up on. She looks at me, and she goes, I'll be done in 10 minutes. And I was like, wait, did you just say that? Like, you'll be done in 10 minutes. I'm sorry to disturb your water break. She goes, I'm just drinking water. I was like, I realized that, because then I start to get salty. I'm like, yeah, I realize that. But I'm also trying to get done, and there's a sign right next to your head. You know, then I get carried away. And so she won't move. And so finally I just move about 2 feet from her and stare at her until she leaves, which is very shortly after that. Sorry, carry on. I'm frustrated.
Other women that have been to gyms, too, one of the complaints I've had from women that go to gyms is they get hit on all the time. Do you have that problem?
Let me just tell you, Glenn, that the outfit that I wore to the gym, I realized there ain't no way nobody's talking to me. I mean, it was embarrassing. And I kind of did it on purpose, but, like, I had a really, like, a maternity shirt on and then camouflage stretchy pants. And black and pink tennis shoes, camouflage stretchy pants with horses on them, of course, and a maternity T-shirt. So really, ain't nobody going to talk to me.
Yeah. Kind of didn't say, do you want some of this, did it?
Come and get it, big boy. Yeah. It did. It just nobody answered. Okay.
There were no rednecks at the gym that morning.
Man. If I was in the deep
Jennifer,
south,
what's
I'd be
coming up
shape.
On today's show?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, first, let me apologize for the content of this show in advance. And then, horse-centric news headlines are discussed, heroic warhorse Sergeant Reckless is celebrated in a new book, a South Dakota rancher has something to say about hooves on thoroughbreds, and Really Bad Ads offers up sniffle-broke, hard-to-catch, mouthy horses for sale. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Before we get to the Daily Winnies, I just want everybody that to send their thoughts and prayers out to Mike McClellan. He was our spotlight driver for the World Equestrian Games in 2010. He was the only one driving horses that he bred on his ranch in Texas. One of our listeners actually let me know yesterday that he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and he was diagnosed in November. He's not doing well at all. Hospice has started staying with him. Apparently, he is still alert and meeting with visitors when he is awake. But send your thoughts and prayers out to his family. They're terrific people. We spent a lot of time with them, as we did all of our spotlight riders and our spotlight driver for the WEG. We followed him for 2 years in his lead up to the World Equestrian Games, Samantha and I. Spent a lot of time with him at the World Equestrian Games. And after, we followed up as well, and he's one of the, as I said, only homebred drivers breeding these really cool cross of quarter horses that he had, and what made quite a team out there at the World Equestrian Games. So our best to him and his family. Daily Winnie time. I don't know that I've ever given my Daily Winnie to politicians, but I'm going to make the rare exception and do that this morning. And this is to the members of the Connecticut House of Representatives. And they voted 138-0. The 138-0 unanimous vote. And what that was the legislation saying that they're declaring that horses are domesticated and not wild animals, and therefore are not inherently dangerous. Of course, this goes back to the ruling by the appellate court in Kentucky that ruled that horses belong to a species naturally inclined to do mischief or to be vicious. So this legislation basically says that horses are not vicious and they are domesticated animals. And this will help decrease insurance premiums and legal liabilities for horse owners in the state. The bill now moves on to the Senate. So finally, they found something they could agree on, the Democrats and the Republicans. It's good to know that they think that horses are not vicious creatures going to eat your face off at any moment.
Mine goes out to the Jockey Club in a list that I'll mention here in just a second, but the Jockey Club has decided, the chairman of the Jockey Club, Ogden Mills Phipps, of course, from, you know, the Phipps and family from Secretariat, Ogden Mills Phipps has actually suggested that veterinary records for every horse entered in this year's Triple Crown races and a growing number of stakes races be viewable by the public. And they basically wanted to bring credibility and integrity to thoroughbred racing at a time when millions of millions are watching. So you can actually be able to go on and check out the veterinary records for these horses before the races. Now, a large and growing number of prominent thoroughbred owners and trainers have voluntarily, and I'm using voluntarily, pledged to make veterinary records of their horses competing in graded stake races available to the public. So basically 14 days before, you'll be able to see the races, the veterinary records up until the day of the race. And trainers that have volunteered to make, there's a bunch of owners that have, but also trainers, include the names of D. Wayne Lucas, Michael Motz, Shug McGahey, Ken McPeak, Graham Motion, Bill Mott, John Sheriffs. Those trainers have decided that they would go ahead and absolutely do it. There's a lot of trainers' names missing. This is kind of a new thing. The Jockey Club is going to keep an updated list of owners and trainers who pledge to make the vet records available. So I think this is a step in the right direction. Of course, this makes me worried. And the first thing I thought of when I thought of it was, okay, so we've got the regular vet records and the underground vet records, you know, like behind the scenes thing.
That.
That's the first thing I thought of, too. So I don't know how they're going to deal with that. But I do think it is a step in the right direction. And I love the fact that the Jockey Club and Ogden Phipps are demanding some sort of, you know, something after this whole PETA scandal came down with the Asmussen Barn. So I think it's a good thing. I think it's going in the right direction. I think there's still a long way to go. But, oh my gosh, like this is a really big deal for trainers to go, okay, here's my books. Here's what's been going on. That's a really big deal and really hard for these guys. So that's huge. And again, I certainly hope that other names that are blatantly missing will join in rather quickly.
Is transparency ever a bad thing? I mean, I don't think it's ever a bad thing, is it?
Thank you. That's the word, transparency. That is the word that needs. And as long as people who promise transparency, Obama, actually use transparency, then I think we'll be in good shape. But there's a long way to go, I think, for transparency in every aspect of our life. But you're right, Glenn, it is a good thing.
It definitely is. You two talk amongst yourselves. I just realized that I need to come up with the phone number for Jennifer to call the first guest. And so give me a minute. Give me 1 minute here.
Please,
we're
talking
about
the
right
air
now.
The lack of organization on the airways today. Everybody can know.
It's Friday.
Well,
what
I
do you
think,
want?
I know it is Friday, and you know, Fridays are. Does anybody get? I shouldn't say this. How exciting is Friday to you now, Jennifer? Being that you work pretty much every day, Fridays are totally awesome now. Totally.
Really?
First thing that happens,
you guys actually take a break?
We take a break. Yeah. First is Friday night is pizza and adult beverage night.
Ooh.
That comes first. Pizza and adult beverage. And Glenn gets to participate in pizza and adult beverage because now we have found gluten-free pizza. But
we found
a
pizza place that makes gluten-free pizza.
No way. Keep looking, Glenn. We're talking here. Talking.
No, I already had it. Found it. Jennifer, you can go ahead and call the guest. We're good.
Okay. So gluten-free pizza, and then they have gluten-free beer now, Glenn. So you may have to start drinking beer and put away the margaritas.
Is that right? They have gluten-free beer?
There's gluten-free beer now, I've seen. So you just have to go to the right places.
Didn't realize that.
I'm gonna
before we get to our
you.
Guest, I have to bring this up. Isn't it funny, the little, you know, we talk about a lot of different things on this show, and, you know, we have fun. We have fun. And sometimes we have fun at the expense of animals or, you know, not at animals, but you know what I mean, you know, just having fun with really bad ads and stuff. And then we bring up some things, and you never quite know what the listeners are going to attach to. Well, effing Frank has become something that the listeners have attached to. And
it's
Ken,
effing Frank. Effing Frank, that's how you say it.
Ken sent a graphic for you, and I posted it this morning, and who is it that stands at the gates of heaven? Which saint is that?
Saint Peter.
Saint Peter standing at the gates of heaven, and there's a cat sitting there on a cloud. And Saint Peter says, "Well, in or out?" And the doors are open, and the cat's going, "I'm not sure what I'm going to do." And then we had... We had Susan Nelson, who posted a picture of her white cat that looks a lot like effing Frank, actually.
I know. That's amazing. It really does. Hers is a little thicker than old Frankster, effing Frank. But it's very rare to have a white cat with blue eyes that's not deaf, apparently. And effing Frank certainly is not deaf, because he responds when I scream at him and throw things. But... You know what? He's doing better. And I got to tell you, the update on effing Frank is that he's actually learning to play with me at night.
Oh, really? He's actually playing,
yeah.
Like chasing something or, you know, batting around?
I just hang something over his head and irritate him enough to when he finally starts batting at it. And then if he ignores me, I just smack him with it. And finally he gets mad enough where it then turns into a game. So I think it's a good thing. And so far, knock on wood, nights have been going better. So I think our cat expert has been very helpful.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, so she did a good job with you, gave you a suggestion that worked.
I think so. So far, so good. And just so you know, the one animal that's actually most tolerant of the baby is effing Frank. And I really think that Frank was like, you know, I better do something so I can stick around. So the baby, Lucas, just pats him on the head and hits him and pulls his ears and he just lays there. And so I said to Chad, I'm like, watch that. Just look at this. He just lays there and he takes it. And Chad actually said to me yesterday, and I almost fell over. He goes, "Yep, Frank's part of the family." And I was like, "What did you just say?" Because he's the one who's constantly like, "We got to get rid of this cat. We got to get rid of this cat." He's like, "Yep, Frank's part of the family." I go, "I wish I recorded you saying that. I would have played it on my show 15 times in a row."
So effing Frank has dropped his first name now?
No, he's still effing Frank, but he's part of the family, effing Frank.
All right, our guest is ready, Jamie.
All right, well, fantastic. We are very lucky to have today esteemed author on our show, and Janet Barrett is the author of They Call Her Reckless, and she wrote a book that all of us wish we could write, and that is about our favorite war horse ever, Reckless, Sergeant Reckless. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Wow, this book is awesome. I'm so glad finally somebody wrote it. And, you know, I just got it in the mail, and I've only been able to read the first several pages. But when I started reading, I couldn't put it down. And the pictures, there's pictures of Reckless, you guys, in this book, and they are just awesome. Tell us why you decided to write this book.
Oh, my goodness. This horse has been in my heart for about 20 years. Maybe that sounds kind of crazy. Someone's going to say,
no.
Boy, she's a slow writer. But I heard about her in the 90s. But I'm a professional, or I was a working writer all through the years, and you take the assignments that pay the rent. And so it was always there. It was always a live file on my desk. I just knew someday I had to write about her. And the thing that I thought was amazing, and I got it from the beginning, is that it wasn't just about her. It was about her and these guys. And they made a unit, a bond. And because of that, they just did extraordinary things. And I don't think either side could have done what they did, except to them, she was a Marine, And they just, you talk to them, and I've talked to so many of them, and she was a Marine. I mean, you know, Semper Fi. They almost look at me as if, or sound as if, well, why are you asking that? And to her, they were her herd, and horses, of course, are mm-hmm. herd animals. And they just, it was a unit. It was tight.
Now, and, you said she was in your heart. What made her in your heart, you know?
You know, that's a wonderful question, and I bet I don't have a good answer. I love horses. I'm a horse person. I don't know. Some of the, you know, it's how does a person touch you? Something touches you sometimes. And, I mean, she has made me cry so many times just thinking about something or telling someone else the story or even times when I was writing it. I mean, I could just feel myself well up. I don't know. Is it her honesty, her determination? I mean, she did things that no horse I've ever known would go forward through shrapnel coming down and that she somehow had to deliver guns to the front line or rather the shells, the ammunition.
Now, for those who don't know, because I just skipped over this because I'm so in love with her too, give a little bit of a brief biography on our listeners who don't know who Reckless is.
Sure. Sure, and I realized as I was saying that, I just jumped right into the middle of the story, didn't I?
Me too.
And I'm so glad you're enjoying it, and I apologize it didn't get to you sooner, but you'll have something to read another day. Reckless was a little Jeju pony, and a Jeju pony is the indigenous Korean breed, and this happened during the Korean War. Some of our Marines from the 5th Regiment were using something called the recoilless rifle, which was shot fired from the ridgelines, and it needed a very heavy shell. Its ammunition was between 20 and 23 pounds. And the commander of the unit, the recoilless rifle unit, who was a horseman in civilian life, he watched his guys dragging these shells up the hills along with their own equipment. I mean, you know, troops have a backpack, and now they're shouldering a couple of these 20-pounders on their shoulders. And he, you know, eventually he said, a horse is going to help this. And he got permission, and he went down to Seoul. At this point, our troops were all north there. They were up on the boundary between North and South Korea. The peace talks had started. It's 1952, long time ago, and we were just facing the enemy across no man's land, across this divide. And he went down to Seoul to where the old racetrack had been and was destroyed and was now an airfield. But around the periphery were horsemen because, you know, where else were they going to go? There'll be another day. There'll be another race. You know, racing will come again to Korea. And he found this little mare, and he brought her back to camp. And she came to do a job. You know, she became so much more, but she was enlisted to pack ammo, and the guys just fell in love with her. She had a presence. She was always there. You know, there with quote marks around that. And they trained her, but they trained her seamlessly. And the guy Lieutenant Patterson found her, and he was a horseman. And his top dog, shall we say, his gunny sergeant, he turned her over to him, Joe Latham, another type of horseman. And they made a great team because Latham was a southern farm boy. And he'd grown up working on his aunt and uncle's farm in, I think, Florida, somewhere in the south anyway. And he said to me years later, he said, if you're good to them, they'll do anything you want. And he nurtured her, and he also made the guys, he said, you know, go hang out, see what she wants, feed her, do this. He encouraged the guys to bond with her. And out of that came this extraordinary relationship, and they trained her to haul the shells to the front line. Eventually, she did it alone. They would walk her from the ammo dump to wherever they were fighting at the time, and eventually she did it alone. They do a couple of runs with her. It was extraordinary.
Now, you said basically they embraced her as one of their own, and they really did. You know, this is a mare that is fighting a battle that she has no part of, but she's doing it because she loves these guys, and they loved her back. And I do see here that she became so integrated that, is it true they actually, like, slept with her in their tents? I mean, they let her in?
I don't even know that they so much let her in as she came in. You know, she just, guys, I mean, I found more than 60 of the guys that had known her either in the war or after they got her to the States, which tells you that she got out, but okay, she did. And they just, she felt that she was one of them. She belonged. I mean, they tell stories. They'd be hanging out, a group of them, and here's Reckless. And she's just, you know, she's a part of the group. She just butts in. And so at night when she, you know, not, sometimes she was penned up. I mean, it was kind of often this happened in reserve where they let her have the run of the camp because there was a fence around it. And sometimes they would put her, you know, they would put her in her own pen at night. But on cold nights, you know, they would take her in or she might just decide to wander in, and she was small. I mean, they never called her pony. And that's something I realized right away. The guys always said their horse. And they might say their war horse or their mare. But in fact, she was 11 hands, 1 inch.
Uh-uh.
Little. But big on the battlefield. I mean, remember, this becomes the target as much as the guys. But she was that small. And when she, you know, on a cold night, she'd walk into a tent and settle down by the kerosene stove. And the guys would just say, Reckless is here. They'd all just kind of move over.
That's awesome. I had no idea that she was so small. Yeah. I did see in the pictures that there are an abnormally large amount of pictures given their horse a beer.
Indeed.
They are Marine.
She loved Goebel's beer, brewed in Detroit. The guy said it wasn't so great, but she thought it was just fine. And she knew where they kept their beer. In fact, I mean, I'm jumping around a bit, but there are so many stories, and they, you know, you tear up at some of them and you laugh at others. But this one guy was asleep on a Sunday afternoon. He had been up all night on marking the perimeter on watch, and he said, oh, man, by Sunday afternoon, he was tired, and he laid down for a nap. He fell dead asleep, and the next thing he knew, he was searing pain in his arm because she had come into the tent, and she knew that he kept his beer under his bunk. They got 2 cases a month because the water was so bad they drank beer. And she wanted a beer, and she bit him to wake him up.
Oh.
This guy said, I knew as I was coming out of the haze, I knew, you know, what she wanted. And so he just kind of jumped up and gave her a beer. And then there was another. And then someone went to the mess hall for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. She was not a gourmet. She was a gourmand. She ate everything.
That's so funny. Well,
she's an alcoholic
pony
is what she was.
I know, right?
Say
she's
that?
Alcoholic pony, he said.
Oh, well, listen. There would be some organizations today would not take kindly to that. But in fact, a couple of mixed drinks now and then and a whiskey. I mean, you know, she made it through.
Care. Yeah, she did. And so how long, I know we're skipping around, but I love getting some of these stories in the book and giving kind of everybody else an idea of what they're going to find. How long was she in battle, and did she ever, you said she made it out. She made it to the U.S.?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She was in the war zone 2 years. She came to the Marines in the very beginning of October 1952, and she set sail for San Francisco the end of October 1954 and landed in San Francisco on the Marine Corps birthday.
Wow.
And there was the pier was loaded with press. And she met the press as if, you know, she somehow, you know, the instinct was there. She knew who she was.
And this is not a normal thing to have a horse come out of a battle and get to the U.S. It's just not even normal thing. So she was such an incredibly special horse. I didn't really realize how integral her part in the war was for these guys. Mm-hmm. And they got to bring her over. She sustained wounds, so she was given 2 Purple Hearts. 2 Purple Hearts, not just 1, but 2. And this is just in a couple years You guys, please make sure you go and get this book. Where can people find the book?
They can find it on Amazon. And if they want to support the Marines are carrying it at the National Museum of the Marine Corps, the Marine Corps Association, the Marine Corps League, Sergeant Grit, but it is on Amazon.
And it's called They Called Her Reckless by Janet Barrett, a true story of war, love, and one extraordinary horse. And you're absolutely right. And you guys, you won't believe to think that she's 11-1 looking at these pictures. In some of the pictures, she looks 11-1. In some of the pictures, she looks so much bigger. She looks like a giant.
Yes, and she was broad, too. That's the other thing. If you look at her, the first picture I ever saw of her was a real profile. And this is typical of some of the Jeju. She has a small horse quality, and she had lovely slender legs with three white stockings. And I thought to myself, hauled ammo? Are you kidding me? And, you know, but I said it to myself, of course. And then later on I got to see, in fact, I have some old videos, and I got to see, shall we say, an aerial view so I could look down. She was really built. She had a big, wide rump. She had very strong shoulders. She had a strong neck. Beautiful face, nicely chiseled. Not Arab, but kind of tending toward that, you know, with some planes in the face. Very pretty. Very pretty horse.
Yeah,
you know, I got
to describe what she looks like. Sorry, Glenn.
Well, that's okay. I was just going to say, I'm finding it's hard to imagine because I have a 12.5 hand Hackney. And, it looks actually a lot like this one. And I'm trying to imagine him being in any kind of hero situation. And I'm having a tough time with that. I'm having
a tough time
with him having anything strapped to his back running through gunfire. I just don't see that happening.
I mean, absolutely. And the shells, you know, they would, the enemy would overfire the line. So they're going beyond their target to cause mayhem behind, you know, so you've got shrapnel falling. I will tell you that a number of the guys who, were ranchers, ranch kids then and have grown up to own horses, one in particular in Idaho, very rightly told me about some of the wonderful horses he'd bred over the years, and then he said to me, and there's not one of them would have done that. And no horse I ever knew or rode, I mean, all of us agree, our horses would have spun around and said, we're going to Seoul, goodbye.
Yeah.
Have a nice war.
We're going, they'll jump in the ocean and swim away before they do any of this stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then the pictures of her and all of her gear, and while there's guns going off, and apparently she spooked at the first one and then was like grazing afterwards. There's pictures of her in the tent with the guys. There's pictures of the guys sitting on her, and there's campfires. I mean, it's just such a cool book and such great photos. A picture of her sailing on the SS Pacific Transport, and her stall, by the way, was not at the bottom. It was on deck. She lived on deck. I mean, that's how awesome this little mare was. There's pictures of her foal, so you can find out what happened to her after the war as well. So, you guys, Janet Barrett's book, They Called Her Reckless. Janet, cannot thank you enough for joining us. I hope you'll come back on and we'll do another spotlight on Reckless.
I would love to. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Janet, I got a quick question.
Yeah.
I got a quick question before you go. Well, who's doing the movie?
Oh, man. You
Amen,
tell me.
Sister.
If I'm going to tell you a wish, you know, on the top of my wish list is that we get a film out of this just because it has to be. You know,
all right,
I'll
call Disney and make sure they know about the book, okay?
Okay, that would be wonderful. Right. Years ago, John Wayne actually tried. It's not, you know, it hasn't been it's been thought about before. I heard somewhere John Wayne tried. Vic Damone was going to be his sidekick. So I guess Vic Damone was going to be Joe Latham and maybe John Wayne was going to be Lieutenant Patterson. But wouldn't that be wonderful? I think it would make a wonderful movie.
Well, you
we'll
know
keep
what?
Our fingers crossed.
If John Wayne can't get it done, Glenn can. So we'll...
That's right.
Oh... I'm so glad that you talk about her. May I just tell you two other things really fast, because the horse community is embracing her like I'm just amazed. I mean, I'm not in one way, why should I be? Because you're wonderful and you love horses, but even more than the Marines, and she's their hero. She is this year. She has been inducted into the Horse Stars Hall of Fame, which is a joint venture of the United States Equestrian Federation and the Equus Foundation. One of 10 that were inducted this year, and only the second military horse ever. And any of your listeners that are going to be in Del Mar this weekend, tomorrow night at the Del Mar National Horse Show, she is the featured horse at the Night of the Horse Celebration.
Wow.
Very good.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So, you know, her star is shining again this many years later.
And thanks to you for making her star a little brighter. We really, we love her there and we love the mare. And the book is really affordable, $15.95, paperback, 14 pages of photographs, pages of pictures. Many of these are published for the first time. Amazon.com, National Museum of Marine Corps. The book is They Called Her Reckless by Janet Bear. Janet, thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right.
How cool. I didn't realize that this mare was that small. That's incredible.
I had no idea. I mean, looking at the pictures, I was like, oh, my gosh, she's tiny. And then you keep looking when she's all covered in ammo, pulling it up the hill. She looks like a monster. I mean, she's just so thick and sturdy. And then, again, there's like a dude on her, and she looks like, you know, she looks like a Hackney pony. It's just crazy.
Well, let's take a break for our... Yeah, look out, PT. We're putting you to war here. I can't imagine. He would so run the other way. This show is sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. We're going to hear from them, and then we're coming back with Dale. He joins us once a week to talk thoroughbreds, and he's, of course, out of South Dakota. And maybe the snow has finally melted up there. We'll be right back.
Choosing a supplement can be confusing. How do you know which ones are right for your horse? Kentucky Performance Products will simplify your search for effective, research-proven supplements that meet the challenges of today's horses. And this week's highlight product is Contribute Omega-3 Fatty Acid Supplement. The properties of omega-3 fatty acids benefit every system in your horse's body. Contribute improves breeding efficiency in mares and stallions, maintains soundness, and protects joints from damaging inflammation. Sustains a strong immune response in horses of all ages and decreases the levels of inflammation in your horse's body by sustaining adequate omega-3 fatty acid levels. Learn more about Contribute Omega-3 Fatty Acid Supplement and all the other products at kppusa.com. That's Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com.
And thank you again to Kentucky Performance Products for being our longtime sponsor here on Freestyle Fridays. And it's time to welcome to our show, as he comes in here every single month, Dale Samantin from Gate to Great in South Dakota. Dale is the brains behind Gate to Great, where they take retired racehorses, thoroughbred racehorses, and reestablish their careers in the ranching biz. So welcome to the show, Dale.
Good morning. How are you today?
We're great. The first thing we need to know, Dale, has the snow melted yet in South Dakota?
Yeah, it's all gone. We still have the mud.
Now, is the soil where you're at the kind of mud that sticks to them and it turns into concrete when it dries?
Yeah, it's a little harder than most concrete.
So the concrete they used in the Hoover Dam came from South Dakota?
Oh, well, probably. If you stick with this soil when it's dry, it'll damn sure stick with you when it's wet.
Oh, that's very telling right there. Well, thank you again for stopping by with us. As we said, you stop by every month and inform us about how thoroughbreds do out there in South Dakota and the real deal behind the off-the-track thoroughbred. They're not just hothouse flowers. So what is the topic you're going to cover with us today, Dale?
Well, feet. There's a lot of myths, I think, about thoroughbreds and people. A lot of people will say, oh, they have bad feet. And
now, wait a minute. We have to stop you right here, Dale. This is important. This is extremely important to our regular listeners. How do you pronounce H-O-O-F?
Hooves.
See? It's a hoof, not a hoof. So, thank you, Dale. You have a subscription for life. Go ahead.
I like
I'm
you,
calling Dale. BS on that one. I'm calling BS. Let's listen to him talk. He is from South Dakota, too, so it's weird up there.
Okay. Or you could just say feet if you get hooves wrong.
There you go. I like it. You're a diplomat.
There are a lot of people that I've heard say thoroughbreds have bad feet, and it's another myth about horses that, I've often said if somebody can screw up their face and say something stupid, they'll say it about a thoroughbred.
Yep.
The biggest problem I have with feet when I get these horses is they've had a bath every single day of their life, and their feet are soft. And if you just turn them out and leave them alone and let them dry out, but the shoers at the racetracks knife the soles out of these horses. So they're all really thin-soled when you get them, and it'll take them a year to grow a new sole or a new foot. I've got horses out of Florida they did have bad feet. They were full of sand, and that sand would work up all the way through their feet and come out the hairline, and they get in pretty bad shape for a couple of months. But we've got this wonderful clay that sticks to them, and it doesn't work through their feet so bad. So when we get these horses, I just usually leave their race plates on them until they fall off, and then I put eventers on them because they're a wider band and cover more foot. You don't even have to trim them when the shoes come off. The aluminum shoes, if you just go ahead and shoe them with a wider band shoe and turn them out, leave them a couple of months or maybe 6 months, if you leave here on the gravel or go say over into Wyoming to ride these horses, that lava rock all over the ground is kind of hard on feet. And if you bruise their feet, then you've got to turn them out for 6 months anyway. So
yeah,
you just well do it and get it over with.
Get it over with. So once the horses have had some downtime and then you put them back into training to get ready to go to work, do you always shoe them when they go back into work? And do you always shoe them all the way around, or is that a little bit more individualized?
It's individual, you know, you take each horse, and it kind of depends how hard they are to shoe. I won't fight with them. Most of them are really good to shoe, but I usually shoe them all in front anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll shoe them in back if their feet are peeling. The outside shell on the hoof, if that's starting to peel, sometimes I'll shoe them. I've got a couple horses that I got in this spring and put shoes on them and just turned them back out because their heels were breaking off. So they'll start to interfere because their toes are too long, and the racetrack shoers won't pull a shoe back. So they get that long toes and low heels. And you can, you know, another myth that goes with these horses is that they don't have a right lead. And some of them don't, and some of them don't have a left lead either. you can look at their feet. If you see a horse with high, low heel, and he's got a low heel on his right foot, that'll be his favorite lead. That low heel will always be the foot he wants to put forward first.
Interesting.
And I don't know how many people have ever picked up on it, really, that thoroughbreds, it's predominant with the thoroughbreds because they're tall and they're long-legged. The taller they are, the more often you'll see a high-low heel. And when you see them grazing, they have to spread their front legs to reach the ground. And they all have a favorite foot that they want to put forward. It's never the one with the high heel.
Mm-hmm.
I try to carve that heel down some, but you can't get them exactly alike. But you keep them as much alike as possible, and they'll pick up their leads.
Yeah. So at the beginning of this conversation, you talked about the fact that racehorses get bathed every day, and pretty much they do. Every single day they get bathed, and their feet are exposed to massive amounts of moisture, which makes them very soft. Do you have any special things that you do if a horse came in to your gate-to-gate program with especially bad feet? I know that the typical procedure is get the horse turned out as soon as you can. Is there anything special you do as far as managing that horse, what type of field he goes in, how much time he might spend in or out if he's got especially bad feet?
Yes, there is. That's a good question. We had a horse that he had no soles left in his feet, and his feet were about 3 inches wide and long like a pair of slippers, that long, narrow feet. And we put casts on his feet. There was no sole, he'd just stand and try to pick his front feet up off the ground. He didn't even want to stand on them. He'd hold one off the ground, and he'd put that down, hold the other one off the ground. We packed his feet with gauze and iodine and put plaster or fiberglass casts on his feet. And I'd turn him in a pasture. It's a really soddy, grassy pasture. It's not a very big one, but and he kind of lived in there he was a pretty near a year before he completely grew new feet. And he
wow.
really got good to be around. He'd pin his ears when you'd walk past him, you know, he'd bite at you. He didn't want to be messed with, but all we ever did with him, I didn't make him do anything he didn't want to do. It took him a year to get to where he'd even tolerate you, and he got really nice. He belongs to a doctor now in Madison, Wisconsin, best friend he ever found.
Isn't that interesting? So, and it is interesting that your gate-to-great graduates, so to speak, find homes all over the country, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they're... I haven't sent many west.
you can't go a whole lot further west than where you are.
Well, I did send one over to Bozeman, Montana, but that's about as far west as there's a lady coming this month from Idaho, and I'd like to send a horse home with her.
Cool.
But most of our horses go east and south. I don't think back there that they have they're kind of at a disadvantage to really get these horses the way I want them. They don't have the room to ride that we have here. That's our main advantage. We can take off and you can go 3, 4, 5 miles without coming to a fence.
That's so crazy. That's so cool. Before we have to let you go, I do want to tell you, I follow you guys on Facebook. It's Horse Creek Thoroughbreds, and it's such an amazing you can watch the transformation of these horses. You have one called Remember Shiny, who was so afraid of cattle he couldn't even drink out of the water tank if they were on the other side of the fence. And obviously you worked really hard with him, and now he's out there with cattle, no problem. But just to tell you what a small world it is in the horse world, tell us the story of Rickham.
Rickham?
R-I-K-I-M, yeah. Rickham.
Yeah, Rickham, he's by Van Nistelrooy out of a, I think he's out of a Nuria mare. He's a sweetheart. Just a lovely horse. Dorothy fell in love with a kind of a paint-looking horse on Canter. And we went through all kinds of hoops to try to, we got the horse bought, and then it was a 30-day fight to finally get him home. Well, we got him shipped to Beulah Park to a friend of ours. She's a jockey, and her husband's a trainer, Kelly Spanabel, and she's a really good horse person. Just, I've gotten several horses from her, and every one of them has a good mind, and they're healthy. They like people. Anyway, when she got this horse from Turfway Park shipped over there, she called and said, "I've got a twin to this horse." Said he's standing right in the barn next to him. I said, "Well, how old is he?" She said, "He's 9." I said, "Well, I want him." And she said, "Well, you can have him as soon as we're done with him." She said, "I think he's got one win left in him, and you can have him." So I guess 2 weeks ago, there was a horse I was supposed to pick up at the paddock judge had an old gelding that he wanted to send out here. He lost his job when they're closing Beulah Park, and he had this horse he'd been paying board on. And I said I'd take him, that I had a girl that was looking for a horse here, and it sounded like he'd fit the bill. Anyway, my shipper went to Beulah Park to pick him up, and they had changed their mind, so he went 2 hours out of his way with nothing to haul. So I called the steward at the park at the racetrack and told him I wanted to find something for Will to haul home. And so he paged some trainers and told him to go to George Eichavaki's barn. Well, George's wife, Kelly, called and said, "Will's here." And I said, "Yeah, that's the shipper." So I had to borrow money from the shipper to buy a horse.
Oh, my gosh.
And then she called again and said, "Well, George said you can have Rickham." And I said, "Well, put him on there, too." So anyway, we have a team now with what's the name of your horse? I forgot Dorothy's horse's name. Painted Forest and Rickham they're both chestnut horses with stock and legs, and they're sweethearts. Just you can't find nicer personalities.
Well, yeah, so, they are twins, and it was a really cool story how somebody else knew him that had seen him, and it's really great, you guys. But please go follow Horse Creek Thoroughbreds on Facebook. You'll get all these stories. I'm sure that it's your lovely wife who makes the posts, Dale. So the good news is you probably don't even know what's on there, but there's always great stories. Horse Creek Thoroughbreds on Facebook. And Dale, we can't thank you enough for joining us every single month. It's always educational. It makes me realize that I'm probably babying my thoroughbreds and they need to toughen up a little bit. But thank you so much for joining us, and we learn a lot, and we'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you. It's always nice to visit with you.
Thank you so much. And And that was Dale Simonton from Horse Creek Thoroughbreds and from Date to Great. So they do such great work over there. And if you guys are always, you know, they get these thoroughbreds and they get them to just chase cattle and just do everything possible. It's really, really a good organization, I should say. So check them out, gatetogreat.com or Horse Creek Thoroughbreds on Facebook. And we'd like to thank Professional Choice for being a part of our show and a sponsor of Horses in the Morning's exclusive live coverage of the Rolex Kentucky three-day event. Professional Choice is the exclusive distributor of the Gina Miles collection of bits, designed by one of the top Olympic eventers to the exacting standards that she requires for her own horses. The collection includes Pelhams, Snaffles, Waterfords, Kimberwakes, Dees, and so many more. Not sure which one's right for you? Then you can check out the Gina Miles Top 10 Guidelines for Bidding that you will find on the Professional's Choice website. It's profchoice.com. Plus, this is exciting. Gina just came out with her first saddle pad for those of us with monoflap saddles. The first one I've ever seen. It's a contoured monoflap saddle pad, has attractive quilting that wicks away moisture. The underside features soft brushed cotton for your horse's comfort, and you will find the complete line of Professional Choice products all over Rolex or on the website at profchoice.com, profchoice.com.
And now coming up just for you, Jamie, I picked this song.
I know,
because
I just
we're getting excited.
This. Yay!
Yeah.
And it is
Will
to
win.
Clayton Fredericks. Sorry, Glenn.
Okay. You know that you've got what it takes.
We'll see him next week.
And whenever you dream the dream, then you've got the will to win. When the moment is finally here, and you're fired and the energy's clear, when you stand on the
That is The Will to Win by Clayton Fredericks. Clayton, of course, is an eventer and coach of the Canadian team, and there are a lot of Canadians to look out for in Rolex next week, Jessica Phoenix being among one of the top ones. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair today. And it is Friday. It is 10 o'clock. That means it's
pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, the time when our listeners submit some really bad Craigslist or other ads they find of people trying to sell horses or equipment or chickens or goats or whatever. And we sort of have a good time with them, and then we award a prize to the ones that we think are the funniest. And Jennifer's going to tell us what those prizes are.
On the prize table this week, we have prizes from Dr. Rose's Remedies. Dr. Rose's Remedies Skin Treatment Salve and Spray are 100% all-natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective for treatment of all manner of cuts and scrapes on your horse. And Dr. Rose's is the must-have product here at Horse Radio Network headquarters to keep PT Scooter's delicate white pasterns free from dew poisoning and scratches. Reminder, Glenn, you need to put some on his hind pasterns. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at drrosesremedies.com. And on the other side of the table, from Uncle Jimmy's Products, we have a gift pack full of things, Uncle Jimmy's Products, Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls, and Licky Things help to combat stall boredom by providing your horse with entertainment in his stall and at the same time providing them with much-needed minerals and nutrients that are not found in other horse treats or are left at the bottom of the feed bin. Dr. Rose's. I did that last week, too. Uncle Jimmy has training treats covered, too, with Uncle Jimmy's Squeezy Buns.
I just bought some of those.
You just bought some yesterday.
I ordered them online. It says Squeezy Buns are on the way. I had to try them out.
Yeah, there we go. That's because every single deliciously squishy soft treat is individually wrapped for freshness, and your pockets won't get gummed up.
Exactly.
Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls, that's right, Licky Things and Squeezy Buns, and also Pecker Wreckers at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can go online to uncle-jimmys.com. Woohoo!
It's one of the very few companies that I just wait for a new product to come out because I want to see what the name's going to be.
I know, right?
All right, let's get to the ads for this week. We had a bunch of them, and we'll see what we got. Scott sent this one in. It's very short. Registered Red Irish Dexter Bull. Make me an offer in Glenwood. We have a registered Irish Dexter Bull, period. About a year and a half old, period. He is red, period. He is polled, period. He comes from very good genetics, period. He needs girls, and I need him to leave now, period. Make me a reasonable offer, and he is yours.
He needs girls.
He needs girls, and I need him gone.
Because
I don't have any girls, and he's starting to knock the fences down.
He's a bull. He's a year and a half now. He's big enough where he's driving us crazy.
Yes. Nothing like an adolescent bull out in your field.
This next one comes from James, and this is funny because there are so many exclamation points in this one, and I'm trying to figure out like if a male or a female wrote it, because I don't think guys use exclamation points like this, but it just seems like that kind of animal. It's Big Mule. For $1, and it's exclamation point three times, Big Mule three more. Okay, so I'm going to read it as it is written. I'm considering selling this wonderful mule. He's a big boy standing at 15.2/3. He has rock-solid hooves that don't need shoes. He's broke to ride a pack. He stands tight and is very mellow and easy to control. Okay, I'm getting tired of these exclamation points. He will go anywhere and do anything. He has never hesitated. He is very sure-footed. He walks out nice and is quick. He has the stamina to work all day and he loves it. He is absolutely wonderful for the farrier, doesn't pull away or kick. He has never bucked, kicked, bite, or rear. He's not spooky, but will let you know when something bothers him. I have chased deer on him, and he likes it, and he has a very nice flat stop. He will be great for roping. Oh, and he's 12 years old. Oh, and I'm selling him because my wife says I have too many animals. There you go. His wife says, it's a dude. This is a dude. He will only be sold to a great home where he will be used consistently. I'm in absolutely no rush to sell him. I'm accepting all reasonable offers. Please have knowledge of owning mules. Email and I'll respond promptly. Might also be a bit of trade.
There really was an exclamation point after everything.
I'm losing my voice.
Very well read. Thank you, James.
Well, yeah.
Attaboy. No, that's also his email address. Amy the Twin Tears Horse. That's what the name of the person who sent this in. For sale, Bonna Allen Brown Leather English Saddle. If not sold, I have no choice but to throw it in the burn barrel.
Oh, that'll sell.
Boy, that's
something.
Selling it there. That is selling it.
You either buy it or I'm going to burn it.
Yeah. Like she thinks that the reader is going to have an emotional attachment to it and will not want to see it burned.
Like compassion is for saddles,
yes.
Too.
Yes. For old, dirty, moldy leather saddles. Yeah.
Man. On a side note, somebody just called me and said, I've got all this old tack. Like, I would love to donate it to you and your students and all that. And she brought it over, and it is one of those old, dusty, rusty saddles and a pair of riding boots from, like, 1972. And, Jennifer, those rust-colored riding pants, the, like, Jodhpur-y-looking things from literally 1982. The rust, you know, rust was so 1983. Yeah, and then the pink show shirt. I'm like I can't, you can't use this stuff anymore, you know, like even for schooling shows. I don't know what to do with it. Anyway, side note, there you go.
She didn't either. That's why you got it.
I know, right? Here you go. I brought you some stuff. Oh, my God. You can't, it's like the boots are dry rotted. I appreciate her for thinking of us. How about that? Sienna Spark sent this one in. This quiet, sweet gelding should be a model for stuffed horses. What? He was trained to pull single or double. We've used him only to ride and pack. He packs anything you put on him with no concerns whatsoever. We have had straight beginners on him, and he has followed along like a gem. His manners are impeccable. He's an easy keeper. He's super easy to catch. He stands tied for days and is excellent for the farrier tacks up quietly. He lets you cheat to get on if you need to by using a mounting block, fence, rock, stump, logs. He loads and unloads quietly. This past hunting season, he did assist in pulling our thoroughbred out of a bog up in the Ruby. What? I was waiting for it. I knew something was coming. Something was coming. So
he's probably one of our rescue stories.
I was going to say, we did that. I think I remember that story.
What's missing in that ad? You know, it makes the horse sound absolutely wonderful, except we don't have make, model, or age, do we?
Exactly. I was just thinking, like, I don't know how old he is, I don't know what kind he is, what color he is, what tall he is.
Nothing.
Like, it doesn't matter. Any information.
It doesn't matter. You know, none of that matters because he will pull your thoroughbred out of a bog.
Up in the Ruby, wherever
the Ruby.
That is.
All right, thank you, Sienna. Sienna Sparks, that's a great name. Ellen sent this one in, Old Horse Trailer 100, and it is a horse trailer ad, and it does have pictures from Jennifer. We'll post it on Facebook like we do every single week. Old Horse Trailer, $100. Hey, it's in our price range. Old worn-out horse trailer, bring it back to life for $100. Now, this is one of the typical rounded front-end two-horse trailers, but this time it is in the back of the woods. There, by the way, to get it out, you're going to have to move the vintage 1950 manure spreader that seems to be connected to it hitch to hitch. I'm not sure why that is. By the way, we own this manure spreader, Jamie. We spread a lot of manure with this exact manure spreader right here.
But that's not for sale.
I know. It's still usable, probably. But this is, you want to describe it? It's a typical two-horse, no floor. The horse is going to be Flintstones there.
There are actually giant – there is a floor, but there's giant holes in it.
Holes in it.
There's, like, literally giant pieces of the board missing. It does have a ramp, so you can pull down that holy ramp floor and let your horse stumble up into it. It's just a mess. It is a disaster.
Yeah,
it's
you're
not
going to bring it back to life. No. You're not going to bring it back to life. And you notice that they took the pictures in such a way that the shadows are covering up the wheels so you can't see if they're flat or not, or even if there is tires on the thing. You can't see them at all the way they took the pictures.
You really can't see the front end either. They just took pictures of the backside.
Anyway, that is the horse trailer. We will post it. It's a classic. Thank you, Ellen.
Yes. Robin sent the next one in. 5-year-old Dunn Quater horse gelding. Oh, it's a cool.
We sell a lot of quaters.
Really? Fighter Dunn gelding quater. Oh, they're consistent with the misspelling of quarter. Dunn gelding quater horse, 16 hands. This gelding is built tough. He's great good around kids, dogs. He is a great good around kids, dogs, ATVs, ties, and trailers. He's been on many trails and moved cows around in the hills. Nothing special in his training, just a good old ranch boy. No bite, buck, or kick, needs advanced beginner at least, rides in a hack, more, bossel, or sniffle.
He rides in a sniffle.
Rides in a bossel. Fossil. They spelled it wrong. Hackmore. It's two words. And a sniffle.
You just know what that people live in different places than we do, because we have never lived in a place that there were just cows running around in the woods.
No.
Have you?
I'm from cities or deserts. Glenn, actually, we do live somewhere where there's cows just wandering around in the woods.
We do?
Yeah, well, I've come across out trail riding.
Oh,
you're riding out in the middle of nowhere in the woods, and there's just cows standing there. They get loose, and they get lost in the forest out here, and they don't find them.
That is true.
Hey,
the one day
free beef.
She came back and said, I just had some cows scare the crap out of Beaker in the woods over in our neighborhood. So that tells you that these are loose, feral cows. I wonder what happens to a feral cow eventually. I don't know.
He's eaten by a feral redneck.
I don't know what to do with this next ad. This was sent in by Dwayne. And Dwayne, I had to look it up, and I actually found a picture. I don't know, if Jamie, if you can see the picture. But this is the ad. National Joba Horse Riding Machine, $180 in Garden Grove. I have a National Joba horse riding machine. Works great. No problems at all in Chinese riding. Great exercise for any lady or men. Any question mark, text or call me. Had you ever heard of a National Joba horse riding machine?
No, but apparently on Amazon there are some for sale and many other copies.
It is this sort of saddly-looking thing that this Asian woman is sitting on in front of her TV set. And it has a stand and everything, and it looks like it's some, I don't know, like the Joba, the horse riding machine, will act like a horse while riding through the woods chasing cows, is the best I can tell from the picture.
No bite, no rear, no kick.
No bite, no rear, no kick.
The description on Amazon, it doesn't eat much, easy keeper. Simulated racehorse exercise action, deluxe model exercise equipment, advanced 3D virtual reality technology imitates horseback riding experience. Hey, get a horse. Seriously, just go get a horse.
It's funny
there's
that
stirrups
it says,
on it.
Yeah, there is. There's little stirrups on it. And it's funny that it says racehorse riding when the in the picture that they the Joba people produce themselves, it has a picture on the TV. They're riding through this lush green meadow. So I don't know what that means. Maybe that's how they race horses over there. Uta sent in the you have the next one.
Uta sent it in. 5-year paint gelding in Kingston. 5-year paint pony gelding, green broke. Loves to play in the field, but my mares and gelding would rather just veg out. They get very annoyed with him. Electric fencing is a must. He has jumped our fence on many occasions or squeezed through. He jumps rally high considering he is the pony. I think he would excel at jumping or speedy stuff. He wants to do stuff. Probably would be a good idea to leave the halter on since he is so hard to catch.
Oh, we have a horse that's hard to catch that will jump every fence you have. There's a perfect combination. Yeah.
Yeah, I want that one.
We bought this big white horse one time. I mean, big white horse. It must have been 17 and a half hands. And we got him at an auction, and we brought him home, and he was going to be an inventor prospect. And he literally jumped every fence in the place. He would just, every morning you came out, he was in a different field. He would jump into the field of the horse he wanted to hang out with, usually the mares, and he would just jump from field to field to field. And you just never knew. Every day you come out, it was an adventure. Where he was going to be. And he was so big. He was a huge horse. We sold him to a guy, and we were honest with him. We said, you cannot turn this horse out. And he didn't. The only place he could turn that horse out was in the indoor arena because he couldn't jump the walls. But other than that, he would jump out of anything. He was a jumper.
Nice.
Big white horse.
Nice.
Jody, if you remember right, Jody sent in an ad last week that we read, and we went, well, that wasn't funny or anything. I'm not sure why we read it. Well, she heard us say that, and she was kind of embarrassed that she sent us an ad that we didn't find funny. So,
really?
Yes, she was. So she sent this ad in, and she said, a really, really bad ad to redeem my not bad ad. So this from last week, follow-up to last week. For sale, horse, 3-round bales of hay, tack, and more. Now, I had to edit it because it was really long, so I just put the horse part in. Horse, $1,000. Pickup only, Angel Girl is a good horse that is somewhat easy to ride. She can be stubborn at times and knows just about every trick in the book to pull on you so you won't want to ride her. That was all one sentence for that punctuation. But once you show her who is boss, she is a very smooth ride. I have used her for trail riding, and until she gets used to the area, she can be a bit spooked easily, and she will still spook a little after she gets used to you. She's really selling it here. She is 12 years old, and she has had her shots and is wormed. I was told she was a Tennessee Walker, and I had the vet look at her, and they said she looked to be a mix between a walker and a paint. She has one almost blue eye. I don't have enough room for her and have just started to travel a lot, so I haven't had the time for her. Once she gets to trust you, she is a very sweet horse.
Hey, Glenn.
She hasn't, yeah?
I have almost blue eyes, too, except for their hazel.
She hasn't been rode in a while because I travel a lot, but when I was riding her, she was a good ride. I trained her at one where all I have to do is stand in the field and point which way I want her to go. I have trained her at one to where all I have to do is stand in the field and point to her which way I want her to go. It doesn't say if she ever then did go that way. She just pointed
like, run away. You showed her to run away. Well, that's awful. Exactly.
She is very teachable if you have time to work with her. Please text me or email me, but please, only if you have intentions to make an offer or to buy her. Sight unseen. I would answer any questions needed. I am looking for a good home because she is such a good horse. Anytime mm-hmm. they say that, the horse is a frickin' nut job. If you would like pictures, please send or text me.
I have some friends that are selling a horse, and they have listed this horse that they are selling on 16 different websites. And it's a good horse, and it's very reasonably priced, and it's very well trained. And she says she has not gotten one person that's interested in this horse. She's like, I don't understand where to buy. I can list this horse. I put it on all these Facebook pages. And she's like, nobody has emailed me about it. And then you get people like this who are asking $2,500, $1,000 for this horse that is stubborn, who doesn't want to ride. She'll spook. She bites. But only call her if you are serious about buying it. I want to know, does this person get called?
Probably sold the horse on the first day because for some reason, horse women like horses that are like the men. You know, you like the rough and tumble kind of men. Well, apparently you like your horses the same way.
Well, I told her, I said, what you need to do is you need to show pictures of any horse standing, starving to death, that is, you know, trash in the field, it hasn't eaten in a month, I can't afford it. You need to put, like, a hard luck story, and then somebody will pick it up in a day. Us horse girls like to rescue things, okay?
That's right.
It needs to be rescued. It needs a home. But if it has a good home, we're like, whatever, we don't need it.
I love the fact that she actually admitted that the horse can be a little, it can be spooked easily and will still spook after she gets used to you. It's like, okay.
You know what's also good about this one is that she was told it was a Tennessee Walker, but the vet said it could be a Walker and a paint, which means it's just a Tennessee Walker that's Pinto. They have those.
Right.
they make those. It's called a spotted saddle horse. It's a Tennessee Walker that's paint. And then the final one is from Chelsea. This is awesome. I really like this one. It's all capital letters. The perfect horse, $10,000.
Whoa! Wait, really?
I mean, it's a really cheap price for the perfect horse, okay?
Oh,
and you hear the title, and you see the price, and you're like, oh, my God, this must be the perfect horse. And then you read the ad. I have the perfect horse for sale. His name is Moose. Moose is about 17 hands. Not for a beginner because he goes fast. Moose is a bit mouthy, but I like to call them love nibbles because he doesn't mean it. He spooks at shrubs, may kick or buck when he's ridden, but it's not hard to stay on. You can come try him whenever. Just call. Okay. That's not the perfect horse.
My perfect horse is 17 hands. He bucks. He kicks. He runs. He bolts. Oh, what should I have to say about it? Yeah. It bites. He does all the Vs. Bucks, kicks, bolts, bites. All of them.
Oh, but he is perfect. And he doesn't mean to bite you. He loves you. He just nibbles on you because he loves you. He's the perfect horse. I want to smack this chick. Good luck. If she sells that dang horse for $10,000, I'm going to be – I wish I had the phone number. I would call.
Well, let's make this simple. Jody, I think, redeemed herself with the ad that she sent in. Let's give Jody the Dr. Rose's Remedies gift pack, and then Chelsea for that last ad with the perfect horse for $10,000, the Uncle Jimmy's gift pack. What do you think?
Sounds good.
So good job, Jody, for redeeming yourself and sending in an ad that was funny. You know, sometimes the it's in the eye of the beholder, and, you know, Jamie and I are getting old, and our eyes are getting bad. So, you know, it's not always you. Sometimes it's us.
What are you talking about? I don't know.
I have
Sienna's
Friday.
the bog, the horse being pulled, the thoroughbred out of the bog. I really like that one. I like the big mule. There's some really good ones, a good horse trailer. You know, you can't go wrong. So thanks to everybody. I am going to go buy that horse riding machine because, man.
You need that. You know, it might be better than the gym. You're paying all that money for the gym for $180. You could have this in your living room.
You know what? I wouldn't even need child care. I'd just put him on the carpet next to me. Who needs a gym?
Just
forget
put him
it.
In a saddle. What the heck? I mean, just right in front of you. Why not?
Why not? All right. Sounds good. Sounds good.
All right,
you guys, everybody, have a great weekend.
Yeah, we'll be back on Monday.
Monday it is. And then Rolex, baby. Woohoo!
See everybody. Be safe.
Stay neutered, gals. Have a great weekend. Happy Easter. I'm going to go drink a beer.